Carl McLean. I am the planning official for the city of Boardman. My name is spelled C-A-R-L-A. Last name is M-C, capital L-A-N-E. The city's address is 200 City Center Circle or PO Box 229, Boardman, Oregon, 97818.
Thank you.
So we've submitted an application to partition this land. As Tamara indicated, it is also a replat. We're proposing three parcels, a northern parcel, proposed parcel one, the central one, proposed parcel two. Both of those are north of Coonsey Lane. And proposed parcel three is south of Coonsey Lane. We have some sense of what proposed parcel one and proposed parcel two will be. Proposed parcel three is available for sale. And the city does have an individual who's actively interested in it. We do not know what the proposed uses for that parcel are. Those have not been disclosed to us. Proposed parcel one, there has been conversation with Unitil Electric about that being a substation, that they are in a holding pattern, and while we're creating the parcel, it makes it vacant. Until such time that somebody else wants to acquire it or demand becomes such that UEC decides to purchase it or some other utility, about half the parcel does sit under the power lines. So it is encumbered a bit by the power lines. Parcel three, there have been a number of meetings between the city and the park district. While nothing has been finalized because the petition has not been completed, there is a clear path that would lead to the city leasing the property to the park district for park district benefit. And again, parcel three, we don't have a proposed use because we don't know what the potential purchaser's intent is for the property. We did speak, Brandon and I did speak with your planning director, Tamara, yesterday about the proposed conditions. I would agree with a number of the statements that she made tonight about the specific conditions. We're concerned and don't understand the ODOT request. So I'm actually interested in hearing the request from ODOT. I don't know what extending that easement and making a loop and encumbering a lot of property achieves in the end. If I could ask even to put the map back up, I think it's helpful to the discussion so people can see the visual. Thank you. The old Coonsey Lane that runs across, goes north along the eastern boundary of proposed parcel two, was dedicated on a 2003 plat as easement, or it's identified as easement. And I believe as that particular plat showed, it terminated at what is now Hexlot 122, I believe. It's the UEC parcel. It's that little tiny piece up in the far northeast corner. We're proposing that old Coonsey Lane easement at 40 feet be continued to the eastern boundary of proposed parcel one. So I don't know what the length of that is, but it would be basically the frontage of the UEC parcel plus the 40 to 60 feet to get access onto parcel one. We're also proposing to go ahead and create what would essentially be an easement that would be in the shape of a cul-de-sac because the findings do represent turnaround needs for Boardman Fire. And I spoke with Marty Broadbent and he indicated that the cul-de-sac is the appropriate mechanism for Boardman that they prefer and we're willing to meet their dimensional requirements. But again, that is an access easement. It is not a roadway. It's not dedicated as a roadway. And we're not proposing that it be dedicated as right-of-way to be a public road. It is a private easement for ingress and egress, and we're asking that not change. It's also currently at 40 feet. I'm happy to have a discussion about the difference between 40 and 60. But 40 meets the standard that's in the county's zoning ordinance. So we're willing to maintain the 40, continue it along the boundary, southern boundary of the UEC parcel to get to parcel one and terminate it there with an opportunity for Board of Inquiry to come determine. To address the access on proposed parcel two, in conversations, should the proposed use go forward, that is the RV park, and again, the park district has a lot of work once the partition is completed to achieve that, we're willing to dedicate at the end of, the east end of the tower, or the lot, I'm going to call it Love's Road, it doesn't have a name, so I'm just going to call it Love's Road. The city is willing to dedicate a cul-de-sac that would terminate at the end of that road. It doesn't have a turnaround. The time that that was created back in 2012 for the Love's development, it was unclear where the road would go. It would terminate or if it would continue on. Since it appears that an 85-acre parcel is the development site of the parcel, and that the potential development would not be a road network, other than what would serve its purposes, which would be private internal roads, we're willing to have a condition that would say that at the end of the, again, Love's Road, for lack of a better way to define that road, we would dedicate as right-of-way in this case, a cul-de-sac, and that would provide access into proposed parcel two. As far as access for proposed parcel three, and even an alternative access for proposed parcel two, the development code acknowledges frontage and access points every 300 feet on one type of road and every 600 feet on another standard for road. And I think between Coonsey and Tower, at least the northern portion of Tower, north of Coonsey, you have a full-fledged arterial and then you have collectors. And at 300 or 600 feet, the city has plenty of frontage along Coonsey, as well as the parcel three along Tower, that multiple access points could be achieved. So we would ask that there not be a requirement for an access permit. We don't know where future development would prefer to place an access permit. If it takes any time to go through future development processes for either parcel two or parcel three, any access permit that we achieve will have been become void because we won't have built it. So access points for other than what we're talking about doing the cul-de-sac at the end of parcel Love's Road for parcel two, I think is a function of development, not a functional division. There's also a request in the findings for a preliminary septic suitability. The smallest parcel is 12 acres. On proposed parcel two, an initial due diligence for the land partition, or not land partition, but the RV park, we do have a letter of approval from DEQ for future on-site for proposed parcel two. We're happy to submit that to the county. And we may have already, I'm not sure, but we're happy to submit that. But proposed parcel one is a significant acreage. At this point in time, it's unsure what the development will be. If it is a substation, it would not require septic. And the southern parcel at 208 acres is sufficiently large enough to be able to achieve whatever kind of wastewater system it may need to support its development. So we would ask that the requirement for the preliminary septic suitability be removed. I had not seen the district, the Bureau of Reclamation letter prior to just a little bit ago. And they're not actually asking for anything that should appear relative to it. What they're asking for is a development. We're comfortable with mapping an easement if the Bureau or the district can clearly define where that easement should be. My concern is that many of their maps are very broad brush, and encumber entire parcels. And I don't think that's appropriate, because that's limiting to development. And certainly the letter from the Bureau does not seem to indicate that. So I would be really concerned with the broad brush condition, but we're happy to work with the Bureau to find what that easement is. But again, the Bureau letter really refers to impacts of development, not impacts at condition. And again, you can see with the map that appears to come from the West Extension, again, it's just really hard to know what those impacts are and what their rights might be. I would also say there's no water rights associated with this property. And then the letter from the Department of Aviation, again, appears to be applicable to future development and does not impact the division of land. And should not encumber the division of land, but would appropriately be the county's provisions to protect the border and airport would be applied at the time of development, whatever was developed on any of those properties. And then there's the subsequent condition of approval one, which is requesting improvement of an easement. And I don't think that the Morrill County Development Code authorizes your authority to require improvements of an easement. The easement along the eastern side of proposed parcel two is just that, it's an easement, it is not a road. The old pavement is still there in a lot of places, but I would say that development of that road would happen based on whatever might happen on either tax lot 122 or proposed parcel one. It's hard to know what that development would require. And again, I don't think your development code authorizes you to require an improvement standard on an access easement. On the approach, yes, but on the easement itself, I don't believe that is allowable. So we would ask that you remove subsequent conditional approval number one.
Wait, Carla, can I interrupt? In front of the Planning Commission, subsequent condition number one. Gotcha. Okay, thank you. I'm tracking now.
Okay, perfect. As far as the Doherty letter, again, I'm just really seeing it now for the first time. I am going to reserve my right for rebuttal until after Mr. Doherty and others have testified. But a couple of initial comments to it. And I don't know what you're looking at. I don't know what you have available for page numbers or anything else. But in the PDF that I'm looking at, that I received on page 9, they indicate that the applicant fails to meet the minimum standards of 1.010. 1.010 are not standards. They're introductory provisions to your Article 1 section of whatever portion of the code this has been taken out of. And yes, on the interpretation, you are able to apply conditions. But the conditions have to be appropriate, and they have to be based on a standard, whether it's your standard or an administrative rule or a statute. You can't just apply a condition because you don't like the fact that the sky isn't pink today. He's identified that we failed to meet some application procedures and requirements. Four is a statement regarding contemplated water supply, sewage disposal, solid waste disposal, fire protection access, etc. Well, solid waste is done by franchise, fire protection is a district. Sewage disposal, again, we've talked about that a little bit here this evening. Water supply, all of these parcels would be eligible for a limited opportunity through water resources with exempt wells for either commercial or industrial use. And there are other opportunities for water supply as well. And he also mentioned 6 and 7 regarding the future, the current use of the property, it's all there. The future use of the property, again, I shared what I know. But again, the decision tonight is not about uses, it is about provision. And then the title of subdivision guarantee report, we did provide a preliminary report to the county. Again, he goes through the requirements for approval, a number of statements to that. Again, I'm gonna reserve my right to rebuttal on this, and try to take a look at it as he's talking. And then I am not sure what, and maybe his narrative refers to the pictures. I'm not sure what the pictures are intended to write to. So, given that, I will conclude my initial comments and just ask for your consideration this evening. And again, I reserve my right to rebuttal. Thank you. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have at this point.
So, anybody have any questions? Well, first off, do we have any additional proponents to present testimony or evidence?
There may be, I am not sure.
Okay.
There's nothing in chat, Chair.
Okay. With that, any staff or commission questions for the applicant at this time? Okay. Hearing none, I invite any opponents to testify and present evidence. Please remember to speak clearly, your name, spelling of your name, and your address.
I got my hand up.
Okay.
Jim Doherty, DOHERTY, 68812 Wilson Lane, Boardman. In all fairness, I think I would just like to ask for an extension. All the material that's been put together and researched and come before you was certainly done in this case by my wife, and she is not able to attend tonight. She had a city county court meeting, was not able to attend that. She is well under the weather, so I would ask for an extension so that, I think in all fairness, materials can come into the planning department right up to the last minute, and certainly if she'd have been a little more speed this last week, you'd have got it a week in advance, but it's really, as part of the process, I think it needs to be, fully consumed. I think the pictures that she sent in were relative to, I think if you look at Stephen's map and you look at TL 132 up to the top and TL 117, those are both potato and onion storage sheds, and that's just the refuse, sort of the fugitive onions that are flowing across into what will be the RV park once it's rezoned and allowed in there. Incidentally, and I want to get on the record, and I don't know if Stephen can raise the map down to show the red parcel 3. Is that possible? Yeah, there we go, right there, that's fine. Just a cautionary note is, of course, these will have to be rezoned, whatever's going in there. I know Amazon, I've talked to the state, and they've reached out to the state and asked if data centers are applicable under space age industrial, and they are not. And so they'll have to try and go through a bit of a rezone. But if you look at that 15-acre parcel, I'm not sure what the number is, TL-135, kind of a triangular piece. Those folks made an application for a potato storage unit. It's a seed potato processing facility, employs 15 to 30 people, and they dump all their waste potatoes in that long triangular piece quite illegally. And that's the picture I sent you. I reached out to DEQ, who does the solid waste, and DEQ assured me that CSS Potatoes said they only dump dirt and there's no potatoes because they would have to go to the landfill. So that was just kind of a picture of what was on there. And so, Tamara, you'll get a more formal letter. But what they're doing, they have to do in an industrial zone. I've talked to the state, certainly, and other counties that have seed potato processing facilities. And it's garbage in, garbage out. They made an application for potato storage. They made an application to Stephen for a loadout facility. They weren't forthcoming with what they're doing. And the challenge is if you look at kind of where in the red area by the P3 where it gets darker, that's a wetlands, if I might, on the city ground. And the water is now leaching onto my property, and it's over 50 parts per million and has now soiled my well and cost me a grandchild. So you got to be really careful. You know, the whole red section has been replete with horrible ideas. It was going, you know, the city wanted to make it a federal prison, right? And when that didn't work, they came back and they wanted to make it a man camp. And of course, that didn't work either. So, you know, I think you've got to take the time and look through the stuff. So I would just ask for an extension, and I don't really have anything, but thank you. Oh, one other thing is on Coonsey, I have an existing easement that is on my deed and kind of runs up along the east side of parcel 3. And so we need to make sure that we you know, get that locked into whatever moves forward. Thank you.
Thank you. And then I can just have her go through it all, come back to him, Tamara. You listen to it all first and then come back because he wants it held open.
He's asking to continue the hearing to February.
Okay.
Which you can do. What I'm doing right now is just doing the math on our 150-day timeline.
Okay.
Because it's really
but
tight.
But we can continue with the rest right now.
I think that's right.
Okay.
Yes. Please.
Do we have any additional opponents to testify or present on Zoom? Hearing none, so I'll call for any interested parties or agencies to provide neutral testimony or evidence. And again, please state your name, spelling, and address.
Hi, I'm Teresa Pender, T-E-R-E-S-A. P-E-N-N-I-N-G-E-R. I'm at 4012 Island Avenue, the Rand. And I'm the planning manager for ODOT.
Thank you.
So we, like Cameron mentioned, we did take a close look at this. And the proposal we had an earlier meeting with the city just to have talked with us about just some ideas that we're looking out there. So some preliminary stuff there. But when we got the information and looked at it really close, you know, as Tamara had mentioned too, that we're doing an interchange area management plan, and that involves in cooperation with the county, but also involves the city and Ford and a number of other property owners out there will be invited to participate, as well as, of course, our agency and all of our technical services folks, which includes our traffic engineer, our by-the-way access management engineer, and all those as well. So taking a look at this proposal, if you could pull up that map that was attached to my letter, that might help explain our comments that we shared.
One second, I just had, you know, hold on. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Okay, so so we looked at this more closely, particularly our access management engineer, and we noted, particularly in the area that's colored in red that has the box to it. So ODOT does that correlates with the interchange. So it's kind of getting on the ID4 and changing it. So on that little box there underneath the power line, red box, is what we call access control. So basically, we own the access to that. And really, there's not, I mean, there's a process you go through to get permit access to the properties in the area. And I point this out because it does tie back to particularly your parcel ones as we were reviewing this. We also have right-of-way that extends down to where you get kind of the jog in the road there that we own as well. So what we're looking at here is particularly with the parcel one area, in thinking about it as it related back to the old Quincy Road, and how it accessed Tower Road, and how it circled around, that if, you know, got parcel one there, you know, if there was an interest in actually moving forward with a connection over to Tower Road or near the interchange, you know, we would be limited for where it's, you know, where the way to cross there. The other part of it is in our access, you know, when we're looking at the interchange area management plan, one of the things it does look at is kind of laying out the access points. We call it the, you know, we have a portion of the area within a quarter mile of the ramp terminals where we'll look at, you know, where the access points are. And then we have also an operational area that extends all the way down to Boardman Airport Lane, the new airport lane that's down there. So it includes Coonsie in that area. So when we're looking at that, I think that's where we get our first, in our letter, we talk about ODOT recommends that the internal easements to parcel 2 not be defined until the ID4 Tower Road IMP is completed, because we're really interested in where those connection points are at. And so we wanted to make sure that if whatever was identified for the connection points or where easements could occur, or accesses could occur, that effectively, you know, perhaps the, you know, the city might want to consider, you know, waiting on the parcel 2 before, you know, determining where their easements are to be able to connect to those locations they're looking to connect to, particularly the Tower Road, as it relates back to the interchange. But as we, our other recommendation is this noting that, like we talked about, that we have what we're calling Love's Road that's constructed. And that if you're trying to provide access, particularly for parcel 1 and potentially effectively for the parcel 122 that's not a part of this, you know, they might want to look at a connection, an easement of sort, with that you would have a connection to parcel 1 to be able to get back out the Tower Road versus just going down, connecting to Coonsie, and then back out. So I think that's what our recommendations are, is this looking forward to, one, what we're going to do during that development of the interchange area management plan, and then secondly, looking at it from a connectivity standpoint to basically not, if there was an interest at some point, or, you know, whatever ends up going in there, that the desire to connect directly over the Tower Road, to let them know that there are some limitations here and some things to consider. So that's really where we're coming from, is this, we understand that, you know, it's the city's application, and just some things for the county to consider as they move forward, just to make, you know, with the approval of the petitions, to make sure that there's adequate connectivity to the county road, to the Lux Road, to provide that connectivity to parcel 1 and potentially to the other parcel up there, 122. And so that's really our recommendations, and something to consider in as you go forward with consideration for the petition.
Does anybody, staff, the commission, have any questions for Teresa?
So these are recommendations, but the state also has some rights for a ways on Tower because of the connectivity to the interstate? Is that,
yes.
Is that what I'm supposed to understand?
Yeah, that's correct. So we have, right around the interstate, we have some, already have some control. But at this, when we do the interchange area management plan, you know, we'd be looking at a reconfiguration of the interchange. And so that might, the 1,320 feet that I referenced, that we try to maintain before your first access on the interstate, that may shift. We don't know yet. And I think that's why our initial recommendation was to, if we can, to wait, if the city can, to wait to see where